Elvis, the man, his life and his music. The 2010 series continues. Elvis was indeed the king in the 1960s. As he leaves the army in March of 1960, Elvis is free to pursue his career once again. By all outward appearances, it appears his career is going great, and so is his personal life. Not only was he turning out songs, but people were turning out songs about him.
I'm hanging up my rifle, war suit and all, going back to Memphis where they're having a ball. Tell all the chicks, yeah, I am. Like later, Big Uncle Sam. I want my guitar back, my hair sideburned and Cadillac. But now the day I make that all-American scene, it's gonna be like the Battle of New Orleans. Walk right in just like a big herd of cattle there. All right, Tiger, out of the saddle. That mine, Jack. Yeah, Uncle Sam can use you. Take your cookie cone. Bandstand Hollywood, the places I go, I knock them out with every rock and roll show. Keep it swinging, I'm traveling light. Make like Paladin on a Saturday night. Have a guitar, we'll travel. Have a wiggle, we'll wiggle. Yeah, dig. All the cats are thinking that I got it made, standing tall up on the hit parade, counting my money and all my Cadillacs, loving the girls and paying income tax. Ooh, holy mackerel. Look at the goodies. Yeah, I am, girl. Yeah, come and give me.
In the last episode, we left Elvis in 1964 with the success of connecting with a female counterpart, Ann Margaret. Their movie, Viva Las Vegas, became a classic, and a rumor of an affair off the screen was very prevalent in the magazines. Elvis's return home from the Army really rivaled anything any soldier had been given as far as public adoration since General MacArthur. The Mississippi legislature, right after his arrival back home, made a declaration, a law, a proclamation, saying he was an inspiration to all of America for his duty in the U.S. Army. The 60s would be a turbulent decade for Elvis. By the end of the decade, he seemed to be struggling. January 13, 1969, in Memphis, Tennessee, on a bitter cold evening, Elvis made a move to recapture his music legacy. Popular record producer Chips Moman and a special select band of musicians that had been assembled especially for an Elvis recording date. Not this time in L.A., nor in Nashville, but at the American Sound Studios in Memphis. This session would last for several days and would start with the king struggling to succeed with a new sound, a new way to do things. Elvis desperately wanted to turn the corner and show he was still relevant in the entertainment business. It would be only a little over 7 years from this recording date that Elvis, in the same neighborhood where Graceland is and this recording studio, in Memphis, his hometown, Elvis would end up taking his life. A clue, even back then, came in 1966 when Elvis talked to his new producer, Felton Jarvis, who had replaced Chet Atkins. I'm just so tired of being Elvis Presley. Let's get back, though, to that cold winter night in Memphis in 1969. In a studio in, by all accounts, a slum area, Elvis would succeed in creating a particular magic. a magic that few had envisioned that Elvis would be able to recreate. Many were saying he had had it. It had a good run. But Elvis wanted to prove otherwise. In this session, in 1969, he would create his last number one record, Suspicious Minds.
We're caught in a trap. I can't walk out. Because I love you too much, baby. Why can't you see what you're doing to me? When you don't believe a word I say, we can't go on together with suspicious minds. And we can build our dreams on suspicious minds. So if an old friend I know, I thought I'd say hello. Would I still see suspicion in your eyes?
Suspicious Minds by Elvis Presley ended the decade of the 60s for Elvis, but let's go back to the beginning of the decade when Elvis got $125,000 for a guest TV shot on a special sponsored by Timex.
From Miami Beach, It's nice to go traveling, or Welcome Home, Elvis.
And that's not all. This was a very special TV show. It was hosted by Frank Sinatra.
And special guest star, Elvis Presley.
You can shake an apple off an apple tree. Shake a shake of sugar, but you'll never shake me. No sirree. I'm gonna stick like glue. Stick because I'm stuck on you. I'm gonna run my fingers through your long black hair. Squeeze you tighter than a grizzly bear. Yes, sir, me, oh. I'm gonna stick like glue. Stick because I'm stuck on you. Hide in the kitchen, hide in the hall. Ain't gonna do you no good at all. Cause once I catch you and the kissing starts, a team of wild horses couldn't tear us apart. I'm gonna take a tiger from his daddy's side. And that's how love is gonna keep us tied. Oh yeah. I'm gonna stick like glue. Stick because I'm stuck on you. I'm in the kitchen, I'm in the hall. I ain't gonna do you no good at all. Cause once I catch you and the kissing starts, a team of wild horses couldn't tear us apart. I gotta take a tiger from his daddy's side. And that's how love is gonna keep us tied. Yes, sir, I'm gonna stick like glue. Yeah, yeah, because I'm stuck on you. I'm gonna stick like glue. Yeah, yeah, because I'm...
Besides Sinatra, several of his Rat Pack friends were also on the show, and his daughter. More about that in a moment. The show got a phenomenal rating of 41.5. which means at least 60 million or so were watching the show. The show was done in Miami Beach. And on the show was Frank's daughter, Nancy Sinatra, who had a pretty good run in the 60s herself. And in fact, ended up making a movie with Elvis later, around 1969. Frank might have had the Rat Pack with him and his daughter, but Elvis did not travel alone either. He had his own entourage. Interestingly enough, they took a train from Tennessee to Miami. DJ Fontana was on that train, and of course, he's part of the Elvis group, and he remembers the whole thing.
Nashville to Florida. Every mile of the way, there was people up and down the tracks. Every time the train was stopped, there was just hundreds of people. And, you know, photographers and newsmen and television cameras. This was all night long and all day. People come from, I don't know where these people, I don't know how they knew he was on that train. But as soon as we'd stop, they finally, you know, it got so bad with it, they let him talk. His car was the last car. And he'd get on the back, and, you know, he'd talk to the people a few minutes, and then the train would move on. And this went on for like 24 hours until we got to Florida.
Lynn Gravett was a reporter for Billboard magazine, and he had an interesting assignment in 1960. It started at Fort Dix, when Elvis was separated from the Army, and he followed Elvis all year, including he went to Miami to see Elvis and Frank together at the TV taping.
The scene, both for the dress rehearsal for this taping and the actual taping, was really quite something. All of the wealthy element were there, of course, with their very fancily attired daughters waiting patiently outside this ballroom to be admitted for the taping. And there were literally thousands of them stringing through that lobby and finally out onto Collins Avenue waiting to be admitted.
Elvis would soon be back in Hollywood, however, grinding out movies. He was a one-man movie factory for Paramount. The Colonel had gotten Elvis a very lucrative deal with that motion picture company and their major producer, Hal Wallace. One of the things that people remember about Elvis is he never forgot his roots, and he always made room for his Tennessee buddies. Even though Elvis had had his moments in the 60s, he was even acting as a prima donna sometimes, but most of the time he was still the down-to-earth Elvis everybody knew. Minnie Pearl of the Grand Ole Opry was in Hollywood doing the Tennessee Ernie Ford show, and Elvis and Colonel Parker invited both Tennessee Ernie Ford and Minnie Pearl over to the dressing room at Paramount for lunch.
When he first came back from the Army, I was doing the Ernie Ford show in Hollywood, and we went over for lunch. Colonel Parker was kind enough to invite me and Ernie over for lunch at his dressing room on the Paramount lot. And we had a lunch there together. I remember so well something funny Ernie said to Elvis. Elvis was talking about how pushed he was, that he had so many more pictures to do, and he had this recording and that session and, oh, so many things to do, and he was so pushed. And Ernie said, man, there ain't nothing like having a steady job.
How was Elvis really doing now that he was out of the service here in the early 60s? Well, Elvis actually had a very candid phone interview about the Army and life afterwards.
I'm just now beginning to realize that I am out, you know, believe it or not. Because when I first came home, it was a little strange for the first few weeks. I kept expecting somebody to come in and say, well, it's time to go, you know. I couldn't realize where I was going and exactly what I was doing. Believe it or not, but 2 years like that, you become adjusted to that type of life. And you become used to it, and all of a sudden, overnight, it changes again. It's pretty hard just to go right back into things and feel your old self.
Baby, let me be loving teddy bear. Put a chain around my neck. Lead me anywhere. Oh, let me be.
Oh, let me be.
Teddy bear. Oh, I don't want to be a tiger. Tiger plays too rough. I don't want to be a lion. The lions ain't the kind you love enough. Because I want to be your teddy bear. Put a chain around my neck. Lead me anywhere. Oh, let me be.
Oh, let me be
your teddy bear. Oh, let me be.
Oh, let me be
your teddy bear. You know I can be found sitting home all alone. You can't come around. At least bring the telephone. Don't be cruel. Your heart is true. Well, baby, if I made you mad, there's something that I might have said. Please just forget the past. The future looks bright ahead. Don't be cruel. Your heart is true. Oh. Baby, it's just you and me, love. Don't be cruel to a heart that's true. Don't be cruel to a heart that's true. Yeah, I want no other love. Baby, it's just you and me, love.
Thank you.